We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Be your man.
You must be swift as a
coursing river.
Be your man.
With all the strength of a great typhoon.
Be your man.
With all the strength of a raging fire.
Mysterious as the dark side of the moon.
This feels
that
good.
That song is so...
It's so good.
It's a banger.
The whole soundtrack.
Still a banger. I still listen to it frequently.
Frequently.
Sing it in my car.
Welcome to the Holy Hour. I'm Amelia Sampson.
And I'm Liz Ball. And today we have a guest, Kinky Katie.
Woo!
Hi, everyone. Thank you guys for having me.
We're so excited to have you.
This is going to be a really exciting episode. And do you have a prayer to start us off?
I do. So if you could bow your heads in prayer.
Mm-hmm. Of course.
I would like to say a prayer for all of the men who are about to get their balls stomped by some stilettos after the women are inspired from listening to this episode. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Jesus would be proud. Hang out with
the
prostitutes.
Mother and the daughter of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Our mother Lilith.
Well, we love you, Mother Lilith.
Anyway, exactly.
We have Kinky Kate here. Kinky Katie here today, who is going to talk to us about BDSM. I am so fucking excited. I know the least out of anyone here about BDSM.
I mean, the more research I was doing to prepare for this episode, I was like, damn, I'm really on the outskirts.
It like goes deep.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, there's something really for everyone.
Yeah. So we can start off with the description of what BDSM is what it stands for.
Love that.
So it stands for bondage and discipline, dominance and submission, sadism and masochism.
I did not know that.
Yeah. So that's what it stands for. And, let's start with you telling us a little bit about yourself first.
Like where I fall.
Yeah.
In the BDSM. Yeah. Okay, so so I am both a dominant and a submissive, which is referred to as a switch.
Mm-hmm.
And I prefer, I guess, receiving pain more than I prefer giving pain, but also I'm not big in sadism or masochism. Mm-hmm. I guess it just depends on how deep into that you get. I mean, mm-hmm. there's like knife play and all sorts of stuff, but I'm not really into that. But, you know, give me a good spanking and I'm there.
What kind of submissive would you say you are when you are submissive? Are you like a bratty sub or?
No, sometimes. I mean, I do love being a brat just because sass comes to me so naturally. But I think the part about being a submissive that I like the most is just not being in control. So I tend mm-hmm. to not, quote, fight back, I guess. So, I guess I'm not too bratty when it comes down to it. I'm just like, yeah, give it to me.
Yeah, and I feel like being bratty is just to kind of like amp it up a little.
It is, yeah. It's to get you're the like, punishment.
All right, let's go.
Exactly.
Because sometimes it's weird if there's, like, not a reason. You're like, I didn't do anything.
Yeah, you got to earn the punishment.
Yeah.
So precisely.
That. But I did want to ask you, like, how did you realize you were into BDSM?
So I guess I didn't really know there was a name for it at the time. Mostly it was just looking at porn and, like, rough sex, and I liked that. And so as I was becoming more sexual and older, you know, you're just talking it out with partners, and I'm like, yeah, mm-hmm. I like spanking, and I want somebody to choke me, and I can honestly say that I just feel like a good dom can just tell you're a submissive outside of the bedroom. Like, so they just know. And so from there, you just, the community just kind of opens your eyes the more into it you allow yourself to be.
Yeah. I know I feel like I've like loosely mentioned this, but I feel like for this episode, and I can always cut it out if I don't want to keep it in. I do have like a dom sub relationship with my partner, and I am a submissive, and it's like the only experience I've had with it, so it's like not super, I don't know a whole lot, and it's also not every time that we have sex, but for the sake of this episode, I will speak openly about it for the first time.
Yeah.
Let's do it. Yeah. I mean, maybe you could get somebody you know, dip their toes in the pool,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, I feel like I had another question. Do you have any questions, Amelia?
I'm
so
learning
far?
As we're going.
Yeah.
I'm like, so I have just like with going off of that, I feel like I've always been interested in this and I haven't known that this is what it is. You know,
yeah.
Like I was with somebody for 8 years and I would want him to tie me up and I would want him to slap me in the face. And he was so nice. It pained him. And I'm like, no, but this is like a different, like, it's like,
yeah,
it's okay.
You can separate yourself from it. Yeah.
Right. It's not like, yeah. So I never knew that that was considered BDSM because how it's portrayed in porn and, you know, like everywhere else, it's like leather and whips and like pain, you know, until you really dive into it, you see how deep it really does run.
There's so many dynamics.
There is.
There's a lot of layers and we'll only be brushing the surface.
Right. Yeah. And I'm no expert either. I mean, I think I've clearly had the most BDSM related partners here.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been trying to learn as much as I can just because I feel like every time I learn something new, I'm like turned on by it.
Yeah.
But yeah, just as I'm no expert. So, and I think it's different for everyone, but that's just, I think sex in every angle.
Yeah. I think that there's benefit in talking to somebody that just like partakes, you know, and isn't like, because that's kind of the level that a lot of people are on.
I think I don't want to overguess, but I think that's how most people are who participate in BDSM is it's just kind of like only in the sex sector of their relationship, whereas other people it's like their 24/7 lifestyle.
Yeah.
And I think most people it's not their 24/7 lifestyle because I think sometimes it just doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
For
I've done like, a little bit of both.
Oh, you
so,
have?
Yeah,
oh,
I have had a partner where it was 24/7. And that was interesting. It was fun, but it was short-lived. I'm not sure how long I could do that in a relationship.
Were you the dom or the sub in the
24/7? I was the sub in the 24/7.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. So it could be, I mean, you're just constantly on call, basically. It's like having a job.
Yeah. So for listeners, a 24/7, like if you're exploring BDSM and you look up 24/7 or you see it on a subreddit, it just means that is your dynamic outside of the bedroom too. Like you have, yeah, you kind of have to like do whatever your dom says.
Like, yeah. I mean, there are like rewards for working out or, you know, dress me from head to toe. What do you want me to wear? What color eyeshadow should I wear? What color do you want me to paint my nails? What shoes should I wear? Good. I mean, I've heard that it's helped a lot of people with their depression because they can kind of be domed into self-care.
Mm-hmm.
So there's so many aspects of 24/7 BDSM.
That makes me want to cry. I love that. I really, really love that. And I think that it gets misconstrued. There are a few questions we got from people that I want to bring up throughout the episode. But one of them was like, how do you know who to trust with it? Because people can abuse it. Yeah, they could take advantage of it. And something that comes to mind is, I don't know if you watched The Vow, that documentary series about the NXIVM cult.
No.
So there was kind of a dynamic that was, a lot of people were talking about kind of BDSM-y, where like he was running their entire life and they were consenting into it, but not really recognizing that they were. Like, they were like, yeah, I'll do whatever you say. But it wasn't the same. Like, it wasn't for sexual reasons. It was, like, a fear thing, you know, and, like, a power thing.
Yeah.
So, like, there's a piece of it that I definitely want to talk about, like, how to know who to trust and, like, where the boundaries are and, like, do you lay the boundaries up front? And because I never knew about the 24/7 thing.
And there is a lot of conflict between, like, BDSM and feminism, because you're like, okay, well, I'm also such a fucking feminist, like, now I have this conflict in my head of like, am I being submissive because like this is the patriarchy at its worst? Or
like, I mean, frankly, I think most feminists or most alpha women just want to lose control in the bedroom. And I think that's the aspect of being a submissive. Be yes, exactly. That really got me into this, because I was so tired of constantly being on or in control outside of the bedroom that it's the best way to let go and relax. And that's really what hooked me in right away.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was just about to bring that up. I'm talking to a guy right now who is a dom, and his whole thing was like, I had an issue when I was first dipping my toes into this, because I was like, well, I don't like being submissive outside of the bedroom, so like, why am I feeling like this inside? You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I was like, I don't know. And so he was like, no, women that are so in charge outside of the bedroom are most of the time submissive in the bedroom because of that exact reason. They just want to like let go.
Turn your brain off.
Yes.
And just you get to be the center of attention. It's really nice. And like,
I love that.
There's always, I'm sure all of us have been in at least one relationship where like you're dating some fucking idiot who wants you to be their mom essentially.
Yes.
With no strings attached. And you're like, okay, you need to earn everything from me when it comes to sex, because I do so much of everything else, especially emotionally. So like, I'm not gonna like be your mom all fucking day and then be your fleshlight at the end of the day. Like,
well, also you're probably exhausted from being mom all day.
Yeah. Right.
Being mom, working 24/7.
And I think that it gets misconstrued too. I mean, like, being submissive is like being out of control. But the guy that I was talking to was, he made it clear to me that being the submissive is the point of control in the whole operation. It and is. I think that it, from the outside, it looks like the opposite, but really the submissives are driving the whole thing.
Yeah.
Really. Which is an interesting kind of dynamic. Like, you would think that the dominant would be the one that like calling all the shots, but
they do call the shots, but you're the one agreeing to it in the first place.
And so you're driving right. the operation.
And I mean, I know on a previous episode, you guys had talked about, you know, like a scene is basically like a, when you do a BDSM role play or something like that is what they call a scene, or I call it playing. Well, I just feel like it really just boils down to your communication and preferences. Mm-hmm. And so really it's like, this is what I am, turns me on and what I'm into. And that's what my dom is going to do. Mm-hmm. Whereas I feel like when I'm the dom, I think it's easier as a woman to be a dom, because I'm like, at the end of the day, you're going to come. So like, that's what men want. They don't really care how it happens. And so I feel like the aspect of being a dom is like, I get to do whatever I want. Like, I want to be the center of attention. I'm going to dance and you can't touch me. I'm going to play as many songs on repeat as I want and shake my booty, and you just have to watch me do it. And, you know, I think that that's the fun dynamic of being a female dom, is you can kind of turn the tables a little bit.
Mm-hmm. What was your first experience as a dom?
It was actually recent. It was with my most recent partner, or my current partner. And I bought a cock cage. I was just like, had to. I was like, I want to know. Like, let's lock you up and make sure you can't do anything about it. So I had it shipped to his house and didn't tell him it was coming.
That is a very so much dummy move.
Yeah, exactly. So I was like, I don't even care. He had never even mentioned whether he'd be interested in something like that. But I was like, you know what? We're just going to try it. And if he hates it, like, it was $20 down the drain. Who cares?
Yeah.
So what happened was I told him, I was like, you need to wear this over. And so he came over with it on, and I ended up, like I said, just doing whatever the fuck I wanted. And so I ended up getting a vibrator out and like getting off like on him or near him while he was locked up. And then I like used the vibrator on his cage, and I was asking him about it recently, and he was like, oh yeah, that was the time I came without coming. And I was like, what a concept that men could have an orgasm without literally
ejaculating.
Yeah, yeah, ejaculating.
This last weekend that's a thing.
I've never heard of that.
I hadn't either.
Oh,
I know.
Interesting.
Get the cock cage.
So question for you. Was this something that had he always been a submissive, or was it something that you were just interested in trying out?
It was something I was just interested in trying out. He had actually always been a dom.
Oh,
yeah. And so we had just talked about it. It was something that I was interested in. It's kind of a side tangent, but at the beginning of the pandemic, I had considered starting an OnlyFans. And so I got some gear. And so it's like putting a wig on or wearing leather or putting on your like, you know, leather stiletto boots. Like that is just a quick way to like change your mindset into being a dom. Mm-hmm. And so I kind of playing dress up was like, this is something I'm really interested in exploring. What aspects of that would you enjoy? Mm-hmm. And again, just opening up that line of communication of things that would turn him on if he was a submissive. And,
yeah.
And we just gave it a try from there.
What does he call you when you're a dom?
Oh, we have gone back and forth on good names for me as a dom. I like kitten.
Ooh.
Yes. I do not like mistress. I don't like ma'am. Don't call me miss. I'm not at work. Like, stop.
Uh-huh. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I like bunny, kitten, like cute little pet names like that I'm good with. But I mean, he prefers to go by sir. And even while we're having this conversation, I really can't even remember the last time either of us called each other by our like BDSM dom name.
Interesting.
Does he ever call you a sub name?
No. Yeah, no. I think we just get in the zone and I feel like we communicate less. Mm-hmm. It's more like through body language.
It's like a flow state.
Yeah, like exactly. You just kind of really do turn your mind off.
Mm-hmm.
We've gotten a few questions from men that I can only assume are subs, and that's why they're asking, of if it's a turn off when a guy is a sub.
Oh my God, absolutely not.
Yeah, when we read that, we were like, the answer is obviously no.
Yeah.
I mean, good for them for asking.
Yeah.
But the answer is definitely no. I mean, at the end of the day, we're still having sex.
Yeah.
So clearly I'm turned on by you, I guess. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you really boil it down to just the basics.
Yeah.
Right. I think it also, like, it would depend, not the level of attractiveness, but if you're, like, specifically seeking out only a BDSM relationship, then, like, a sub and a sub dynamic might not work.
Right.
So you could, like, find what you're looking for in a switch or a dom. Like, but like, I guess if I'm thinking from my own perspective, like if I were to date someone who was a sub, as long as we talked about it and it was like, okay, well also like if I'm agreeing to do this, then like, I'm going to need you to do X, Y, Z also.
Yeah.
Like, it's just all at the end of the day, everything comes down to communicating.
I know. And I'm going to say that so many times during this episode, people are going to get tired of us saying
it. I mean, it's so much easier said than done too. Cause you like overthink it in your head and you're like, I don't know how to talk about this because it's kind of weird to like just bring things up. And then it doesn't even have to relate to BDSM specifically. It's just like any part of a relationship.
Yeah.
You're like, how do I tell them I need this?
Yeah.
But yeah, it obviously is not unattractive if you're a male sub.
Yeah.
He will wear the cock cage without me knowing, I'm immediately just like, oh my God, I just melt. I'm like immediately turned on.
I'm going to be honest, this is the first time I'm hearing cock cage.
Mm.
I'm fully intrigued. Do you know what a cock cage is?
Yeah.
Please tell me.
So you...
Do you want me to look it up for you?
Yeah, I want to see it. I want to see a photo because I can imagine
a live reaction.
You can have metal or plastic, but you literally will put your dick and balls into a contraption and then put a lock on it with a key. The key is my favorite part.
I fucking love that. Oh my god.
Okay, here's what it looks like.
Oh my god.
And now, luckily I
and
searched this
depending
in my
on
private
the size, they like really can't get hard. Yeah, so
does it hurt?
If they get hard, it can hurt a little. Yeah, so it's kind of fun.
That is phenomenal.
So how did your boyfriend react the first time you were a dominant then?
Oh, God, he loved it.
Ooh.
Yeah. I'm sure it was like, was that his first time like being in a switch position?
I actually don't know. But from what I know, I would think, yes. Mm-hmm. So, but I think because we had the BDSM, you know, dynamics already in our relationship, it's just not that big of a stretch to switch it around.
Mm-hmm. I have a couple other questions. Did you guys meet, like, because of BDSM?
No.
Okay, so you just kind of figured this out about each other?
Yes.
Okay,
yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah, we met on Hinge and kind of just started hooking up. And
It do be like that.
And one of the, within the first five times we hooked up, I mean, I'm pretty vocal about what I want. Like, if I'm going to have sex, I'm going to get off. So
fuck yes.
I think
bad bitch
and
energy.
That's just, like, for every woman out there. Like, if you're going to have sex, like, don't make it a bad pizza. Like, get your cookie, too.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I made sure I was getting my cookie, and I was vocal about it.
We've all had too much bad sex. And I just say, like, after age 25, when you're done with all of the wasting your time with all these fucking idiots, don't waste any more time.
No.
It's just...
Not only that, you know what you want.
Yeah.
And if you tell a man what you want, he's going to be more turned on listening to you telling him what you want.
Yes.
Than he will be if you just, you know, starfish.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Yes. Amen.
So just tell him what you want, girls.
I can't deal.
So you just discovered it. So had he been involved in like BDSM beforehand as well?
Yeah, he had been in a previous relationship where it sounds like he was dominant pretty often. And I'm not sure if that was 24/7 at some points or not. But I did know that that was a dynamic that he had had.
Did he have anything in his profile indicating?
No.
My boyfriend had in his Hinge profile... like, we'll get along if you're only into vanilla as a flavor.
Love it.
And then I remember, like, sending it to Amelia, and I was like, what does this mean? And she's like, is he, like, talking about sex? And I was like, I don't know, but I hope so. Because I'm, like, tired of having bad sex. And then he told me, like, later on, like, one of the pictures on my profile, and this is before I had any exposure to any sort of BDSM, one of the pictures on my profile, I was like... like, posed on my knees in, like, a dress.
Is this your Twitter avatar, too?
No.
Okay, because your Twitter avatar, I'm like, are you a dom? Like, when I saw it, I was like, girl, get after it with those knee-high boots.
What was I saying? I'm on my, like, knees in, like, a cute little dress, and then he saw the picture, and he's like, I bet she's a sub. And I was like, oh, you could tell by, like, looking at me? That I would be okay with that. And then he listened to the podcast and he was like listening to how I was describing, like, I think I was describing like the kind of sex I wanted to have as like Kylo Ren and like,
Ray.
Yeah. Like that kind of dynamic. And he was like, I think you would be into like being a bratty sub. Have you thought of that? But as we've like gotten more comfortable with each other, it's more so like, I'm more like a princess. Like,
oh, yeah.
If you're like,
I almost brought my crown. I knew you would wear it.
I would. I'm definitely more of a princess. Like, I will behave for him because he has already been so like kind to me throughout the day. Like, respectful and kind and, like, taking care of me throughout the day. So then that's when I behave more. And, like, it is fun to be, like, bratty, but, like, I haven't been bratty in so long.
It's easier to be bratty when you're not, like, face-to-face.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I can be, like, more quippy when I'm via text, yeah.
So I would say our dynamic, because he's not really, like... I was like, what kind of dom do you think you would be? And then we were like reading the descriptions, like in our dynamic specifically. And he's like, probably more like a gentleman dom. Like, what a good mix. He is a little bit, he's not really a soft dom, but I would say, like, in our dynamic, it probably falls more into that area.
Mm-hmm, and mm-hmm. Yeah. I didn't even know there were descriptions for types of doms, so.
Neither did we. We looked them up.
That's what I'm saying. Like, you're bringing it.
Well, shit. Because there's definitely, like, sadists.
But can I just say, what did I say? A good dom will be able to recognize a sub mm-hmm. outside of the bedroom.
Just about to say that, because you brought that up first, like, one of the first things you said. And the guy that I'm talking, again, reiterating, I have the least experience. I have as, like, minimal of experience as you can possibly have in this field, but I'm learning and I'm interested in learning. The guy that I'm talking to right now, within literally 3 messages, he was like, you should take the BDSM test. I think you're a sub. And I was like, oh, I've taken it. Have you taken this test?
No, but I know of several tests. Yeah, yeah. Like, there's so many tests.
Yeah, it's fuck. I feel like there's it's one, like, that everybody sends.
It's like
me.
Black.
Yeah.
And then yes. Yep. Mm-hmm. The, like, neon colors where it ranks you.
And I told him that I took it, and he guessed everything. I'm like, oh shit,
stop
he
it
fucking
right
oh.
now.
I'm like, fucking, I'm about to drive to the state that he lives in.
Sex toy recommendations.
Oh my Ooh. God.
Particularly for people who are not together. I highly recommend Lovense, Lovense.
Okay.
They're Bluetooth controlled sex toys.
I have something like that.
And it will bring every BDSM aspect just, like, right.
Yeah, because you don't have to be together.
No. You don't have to do it in person. The app, he can just control it from wherever he is. You can send messages within the app if you want.
I'm two seconds away from buying that.
You should, because then you don't have to drive all the way to wherever he is.
And you could, like, grant him access.
Yep.
If you want to have, like, a 24/7 day, just walk around and live in or something.
There's something about this man. I seriously don't know what it is about him. I mean, he's very hot, but, like, he's not who I typically go for.
Okay.
And he's bringing out, I sent my first almost nude. I know.
What?
I know.
Wait,
I know.
Have you never sent
never
a nude?
Never sent a nude. And it's not that I have anything against, I'm like, all, more power to everybody that wants. I know. But I'm, like, very close. And he makes me feel empowered to do these things.
Yes.
You know? And, like, I don't know. I'm, like, about to drive to him.
I can't.
No,
find
I'm not
my...
even. A, I'm about.
Now you don't
to.
Have to. Just ship him to one of these sex toys, and you get
Lovense. Lovense.
And you can sync them.
The one I have is WeVibe, and their app kind of sucks, so that's the only reason I wouldn't recommend them. It has all the same aspects you were talking about.
Yeah,
it sucks in what way?
Like, the app will disconnect a lot, so it's just
Lovense,
glitchy.
As far as I know, like, you can't use any other app. Like, you can't put it in the background, so you can't, like, open Lovense and then open your text messages, because it'll, like, stop the toy.
Okay.
But, I mean, really, if you're playing with my pussy, that's all you should be focused on anyway.
let me just open this text real quick. Excuse me.
Exactly. Especially because you can message inside of it. So, really, you can just talk inside of it. And then you can just delete the whole chat when you're done.
Uh-huh.
So.
Oh, God, I fucking love this. Well, shit. Maybe
how'd you discover that?
Great question. Actually, that 24/7 dom sub dynamic that I had, he purchased one for me, and that was part of the dynamic, was if he FaceTimed me, it was like, put the toy in, like, it's go time. And
Amelia wants a dom so bad.
So fucking bad. I want a dom so bad. I'm on the hunt.
Well, I just bought my boyfriend one birthday. Of those toys.
Thank you.
And you can sync them up, so you can both be, like, experiencing the same thing or different things at the same time. And so I just wanted to recommend that.
Apparently
specifically to you, so that you don't have to leave the state.
Yeah.
It's a long drive. It's a long drive.
Well, at least get yourself a toy if you're going to do it.
Yeah, might as well. Okay, personal question for you. For your relationship that you're in now, if you were to give a percentage to, like, BDSM sex and vanilla sex, what's the split?
That's a good question. I would say it takes such a conscious effort to be a dom or a sub that we really do try to, like, do a whole scene if we're going to do something. So I would say it's only about once a week if we're doing a scene.
Yeah.
And then outside of that, we'll have, you know, vanilla sex.
I think that people think like it's black and white, like you're only doing one or the other, but like it does take a lot of conscious effort.
And I think one of the questions that you guys got was about aftercare.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And
that's a good word.
Yeah. And I think that specifically, I mean, you are going to be emotionally and physically drained after a scene. And so the idea of doing that all the time, every time you're horny, is I applaud anyone who has that kind of stamina.
Right.
I have a high sex drive, but I do not have that type of stamina.
Do you feel, this is interesting to talk to you as a switch, because we've talked in the past about how subs obviously have a drop, but doms do too.
Yes.
Do they feel different when you're being a sub, when you're being a dom?
Yes, I think so, at least from what I've experienced. But I'm glad that you brought that up, because that was something I was going to bring up. I don't think a lot of people realize that your dom is going to drop too, but they're also physically exerting themselves. So I think it's important to think about. I mean, it's an adrenaline rush, right? Mm-hmm. So once that stops, I mean, your body's going to naturally react to that. So when it does come to aftercare, I think it's important for both sides. And that's why...
Who was that?
That was
his grandpa.
Gramps, what is your deal, dude? He looked me right in the eye and showed me all of his teeth. What are you mad about?
Just
chill, dude. Here, come here. I know.
Well, Amelia sorts that out. Have you ever just picked him up?
No.
That's your first time scooping him up? Isn't he heavy?
Exciting for me. He is very heavy. I did not expect it.
He's dense.
He is a
bag of flour.
He's my favorite guest star.
He annoys me so much.
I brought my autograph book and I'm not leaving until I get Grandpa's autograph.
You can stick your paw into mink.
I did also want to say, like, everyone has different needs for aftercare.
Yes.
So, like, when it comes to, like, when my boyfriend's being a dom, like... when I read, like, oh, doms need aftercare too, we figured out, like, maybe what I would need. And then I was like, okay, what can I do for you? And then he was like, if I know that you are, like, you feel safe and comforted, then that is, like, aftercare
exactly.
for me. And I was like, oh, okay. Interesting.
Yeah.
So it's just kind of like, yeah, I don't know. And, like, I'm a sensitive person. Like, any sex I have, I want aftercare.
Exactly!
I want snuggles and compliments.
Well, I didn't realize...
And glass of water.
That's what it was until Liz told me about aftercare. I was like, oh, fuck. Because I would leave hookups sad.
Oh,
and
for
I
sure.
I was like, why?
Cry
I wanted
the whole
to do
way
this.
Home.
Yeah. I'm like, I enjoyed this, but I would just, like, put on my clothes and leave, and I'd be like...
I think it's because... So some of the stuff I was looking up because... Just, like, based on our questions and based on the things that I felt like would be important for us to talk about, I wanted to talk about just things around, like, being sad afterwards and why aftercare is important.
Yes.
I looked at a lot of stuff on Reddit, and one of them is, like, they mentioned just, like, a lot of people think that you can just be really detached and just have sex, but, like, that's not what BDSM is about. It's, like, not just being, like, emotionally detached. Because at that point, you're just using people to masturbate.
Yeah.
And,
like you said, I'm not going to be your fleshlight at the end of the day.
Yeah. Like, you're just wasting everyone's time, and, like, everyone is human, so that's not helping anyone.
Exactly.
If your goal is just to get off and not actually have, like, a connection with this person and care about them as a human, then, like, just go home and masturbate and stop wasting everyone's time, in my opinion.
Yeah. Well, I'm one of those people that loves to debrief sex. I'm like, okay, let's talk about what just happened.
Let's, like, have a highlight reel. Let's talk about
exactly.
it.
Exactly. That's such a good way to phrase
what was
it.
What was your favorite part? Like, so that's, I feel like, what I like to do after, in my aftercare is, like, talk about it and then be like, what was the most enjoyable for you? And then I'll say, like, what put me into subspace, and then we'll just talk more about what we liked, and then, like, that also helps me going forward know, like, okay, like, let's do more of this, or, like, I liked that we dedicated the day to, like, this scene, so, like, maybe leading up to it I'll, like, be submissive outside of the bedroom or something like that. So I love debriefing.
I feel like it's such an important part of aftercare too, because I think any BDSM dynamic, you're going to want to know, you know, what you enjoyed for next time. Mm-hmm. And you're like, okay, I'm just going to pocket that. And so I love talking about it afterwards. Yeah. And then I'm like, oh, I'm ready for round two.
Yes. I fucking love that. You just brought up subspace. And I think, I mean, yeah. People that are just like tuning in for the first time or recent listeners, I think it would be good to talk about what subspace is.
So subspace, I didn't really understand what it was until like I had experienced it. Yeah. You feel like you're high.
Oh,
honestly. Yeah. Like you are not thinking about anything. It's like kind of a meditative state and everything is just kind of like enjoyment based. Yeah. You're not thinking about it. 'Cause I definitely have a problem with overthinking during sex, during most things.
I think most women have that problem.
<They're> like, just like, oh my God, I have to remember that I need to like file my taxes. It's just like, and then you're like, no, I can't think about that right now. So, like, I enjoy subspace because it's just, like, for once, my brain is not talking. And I am just, like, in a physical receptive state. And it's not about anything else. Like, it's nothing going on in the background.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. That's interesting.
That's how and I would experience
it. I would just say that I don't hit subspace every time.
It shouldn't be like, it's not, there's nothing wrong if you don't hit it.
Yeah, exactly. At all.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. That's interesting. I mean, I haven't ever experienced it. I mean, the extent of my like BDSM sex, there's this guy I'm hooking up with right now I'm obsessed with. I'm sure you've heard me talk about him. Music Man.
Oh, I was just, yes, I'm so glad.
I'll be all.
I know.
I don't know what's
wrong
with me.
You're simping for him.
I really am. It's a problem. I don't simp for anyone. But he, I was talking to him because he does some dommy things. And
do you mean like outside of the bedroom?
Inside
the bedroom.
And
okay.
I realized that he was doing this and I was like, I'm going to send you this quiz. And so I sent him the BDSM quiz.
Yes, you did.
And he was like, I don't do this with anybody else. Like this isn't, I just know that you like it. So I tap into it. And I think that that's
what
an interesting, I'm in love with him. I'm not, maybe I am.
Amelia's like, Amelia matches somebody on any app and she's like, I'm in love, put a baby in me. So it's okay. You can say you're in love with him.
I meet my soulmate every single week, but Music Man is a constant. If he listens, he's going to be so fucking scared.
We have a very, you said he stopped listening.
He did.
Let's just hope he held on that.
But I talked about him one episode I talk about him a lot of episodes. I told him that I was talking about him one episode and he listened.
You posted a video.
I did.
Where like, oh. And you, it was like you were clearly talking about him, and he's like, "Is this about me?" And you were like,
"You edited it. You edited it into your own
and posted it
Instagram.
On your own
Instagram."
I did, and I posted about because I love attention. But I'm very he's.
You were just anyway. Like, I'm just gonna go ahead and put this into the universe and see if he comes this way.
She was like, law of attraction. I had nothing to do with it.
Yeah, right. That's how the universe works. But it's an interesting kind of take because he took to it like a duck on water. He was like, I didn't even tell him that I was like interested in experiencing this, but he just started like choking me and like telling me what to do
favorite.
And calling me good girl and like he was really I was like oh he so he's into BDSM and I like he's not I'm apparently his first exposure into it. I think that it is interesting and important to understand the levels that can exist in it because I really do think and I said this at the top like when people think about BDSM, when they don't have a lot of exposure to it, they think about, like, the, like, 100% balls to the wall, like, pain.
Somebody's hanging from the ceiling.
Yeah, like a professional.
There's blood or piss.
Yeah.
Like, why is this happening?
Yeah.
Just, but, like, the, I don't know, the dark edges of porn websites.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. They have, yeah, like, German dungeon porn. That leads me to a question that we actually got a few times. I'm going to pull it up.
Hey, what's up? This is Tim Dowling, writer of the Average Citizen blog and co-host of the new Average Citizen podcast. What is Average Citizen? Well, it's you, me, and everyone in between. We're all feeling a little overwhelmed and anxious at the state of our country right now. So join me and my co-host, Tom Creighton, as we research, discuss, debate, and explore some bigger pictures about America's future and the world. We're all in this together. Find us on the Chatter Network and at avgcitizen.com.
Somebody asked about the how to tell if somebody is a fake dom.
Yeah.
Because we've talked about, I was dating a fake dom for a sec.
Yeah.
And there's no way to really know until you get down to the nitty gritty.
Well, and I don't think fake doms know they're fake doms. I think they're just like these like, they're like the guys who are like, I'm an alpha. Like,
yes. Oh my God. But they're actually a beta.
Yeah. Like, yeah. I'm just a little bitch boy.
Yes. Yeah. Like, I think it's like, so hard to tell if someone is a fake dom. And honestly, it, especially in listening to your podcast, I'm just so glad that you guys have been bringing attention to it, because I think, unfortunately, anyone trying to get into the BDSM scene is going to have a bad experience. Mm-hmm. And I've run across a lot of that on Reddit, of people going to their first party or things like that, and things just going awry.
Yeah.
And frankly, I've had a bad experience. I mean, I know one of your questions was, how can I experience BDSM as a single person? And I just wrote, it's dangerous. Mm-hmm. I mean, do as I say, not as I did, kind of a thing. Like, yeah. Honestly. And I remember, I told this guy that this was something that I was into. And once we got into the bedroom, things just went from what I like to crossing the line. And I mean, it was definitely a sexual assault. I just didn't realize it until after. And that is the problem. I mean, you just shouldn't be doing this with somebody that you don't trust and that you haven't clearly communicated with. And I think, like we said, that is a huge part of BDSM, is just talking about your preferences. And you'll know if someone is a fake dom if you are talking about BDSM enough.
Yeah. I did do a little research on, like, you know, doms being abusive and fake doms. And here are some of the things I found from people who have shared on Reddit. This person said, I'm recovering from an abusive dom that, by my understanding, was absolutely terrible at being a dom. He would do things without running them by me first. I felt more like a lab rat than a partner. It's been nearly 3 years since I last saw him, and I woke up crying this morning from a memory. Still, I'm drawn to certain parts of kink, but I still feel fragile. I'm not exactly a masochist, which doesn't help. How do I connect? They're asking for advice, obviously. Are there even BDSM spaces for non-masochist subs? I feel so lost. And I think it's important to remind people, like, you don't, it doesn't have to be sexual.
It does. And in a lot of ways, it's not.
Yeah. And you can be a submissive and not be a masochist. So if you're not into masochism, that is absolutely fine. Like, you don't have to be a masochist or like enjoy pain to be a submissive.
And I think, I mean, I think a lot of the biggest red flag I have seen is like sex slave contracts. If you get presented with a contract, just no. First of all, go ahead and sign it if you want, but they're not legally binding. So if you are currently subject to a sex slave contract and you want out, they're not legally binding. So get out. But yeah, I mean, that is part of it. They'll be, you know, you're going to do these things and I'm going to do these things and you're going to sign your name on the dotted line.
If you don't want to do something, you don't have to. And I think that's like the most important thing you need to remember. If you want, if you're interested in being a submissive or if you are a dominant, your sub does not have to do shit for you.
Yeah.
You have to earn their submission. Some of the other stuff I read that I felt like was important is if a dom is volunteering to mentor you and then
exploits that mentorship,
then that is something that you should be wary of. They're probably a fake dom. They're probably abusive
a lot of the time.
I have read that only submissives should mentor other submissives, because it's safer, and doms should mentor other doms. And
I like that a lot.
Yeah. And then they like cross that line of like, it's no longer a mentorship. And then they like play with you.
Yeah. Which I mean, I think we've seen in all aspects of our life, right? Like if a man is mentoring you and then tries to exploit it, and they were setting you up for that.
Yeah.
And I think that's just great advice, that you should be looking for other subs or other doms. Mm-hmm. Amelia, do you have any advice for anyone who wants to dip their toes in? I mean, it seems like that's kind of where you are.
So, like, no, but, like, I'm also, I feel like I'm kind of, like, it's, like, a baptism by fire right now, and I'm really only hooking up with one person consistently, and we're both the same level of not really knowing what's going on. And in a way, that's kind of fun. Like, yeah. I want
to
be...
that's related to a question someone asked, is like, if we're both new to this, how can we experiment with it?
It's tough because for a while I've been wanting to experiment with an experienced Dom.
Yeah.
Because I want to be... like actually baptized into it and not like a baptism by fire kind of situation. But at the same time, like being on the same level of knowledge as someone who's also kind of figuring it out has been kind of fun.
It can be less intimidating, I think. Because coming from the opposite end of not having any experience and then my partner did have experience, it's a little intimidating because mm-hmm. I'm like, okay, well, you've hooked up with people who like, this is their lifestyle.
Yeah.
I don't know what I'm doing. And then you like feel kind of like insecure because you're like, am I even a good sub? Like, yeah. How do I know I'm being a good sub? There's so many questions.
Right.
So when I, like, and back to communication, when I communicated that to him, it was easier for him to, like, he's like, oh, okay, now I know I need to, like, affirm you, like, when I think, like, you're being a good sub.
Words of affirmation.
Yeah, I'm a big...
That's your sub love language?
I think that's actually just my regular love language, too. It's just, I need words of affirmation.
I think the greatest resource has been Reddit, because people there are so honest. I mean, you're behind your computer, you're behind your username, and, I mean, like you were just reading, people are honest even about the worst experiences that they've had.
Well, and, like, if you're sharing, like, a bad experience and asking for advice, the community is so supportive that they're going to be like, you need to get out of this because of X, Y, Z. So you're always going to be able to find, like, positive support and advice on Reddit because those people, like, yeah, it's like their lifestyle.
And it's great because of cross-posting, you can find different aspects of BDSM that you either didn't know exist or didn't know turned you on.
Mm-hmm.
And from there, you can just kind of get deeper into your own kinks.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
So. Amelia, I think this will speak to you. This reminds me of something you said once. Don't settle for someone who doesn't see me and my pleasure as equally important to theirs. How this pleasure comes about may be different, but it's equally important. So I think a good recognition of a fake dom is like, if a dominant does not give a fuck about your pleasure, like,
get out. Like, that's not a dominant.
Yeah. If I was doing if I didn't like something that my boyfriend was doing during a scene, he would immediately stop.
Yeah.
Like, and that's the point of it is like, it doesn't matter if he's a dominant. Like, at the end of the day, we care about each other.
And it's supposed to be about both sides' pleasure, right?
Mm-hmm.
So why would you continue to be a part of that dynamic if you're not getting your cookie?
Yeah.
Yeah. Totally.
I really do feel like that's the entire point. And, like, that's why doms love being doms, is because it's hot to turn somebody on.
Yes. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, absolutely.
I definitely feel like I would have switchy tendencies if, like, like, my dom was open to that, but he's just, like, doesn't really seem interested. And that's fine with me, too. I'm happy being a spoiled little dom or sub. I'm a spoiled little sub.
What are some questions you recommend someone ask when vetting a potential play partner?
Yes. Oh, I wrote that one down.
That's a really good question.
I think it's important to ask their level of experience.
Ooh.
Like you were just talking about, feel comfortable with someone who has kind of the same level of experience as you. But I also just want to know kind of what they've already done. I think you're going to feel safer knowing that, just period.
Mm-hmm.
If it's 0 or 100 times they've been doing it, then at least you know where they fall.
Yeah, and whoever is answering that question needs to be honest, because it's not like, are you even experienced? It's like, okay, I just want to know where things are so we can communicate
and
about it.
And it's also not how many people have you slept with.
No.
It's truly just how many times have you done this? Yeah. And how many people have you done it with? I think it's especially important. I think that when you ask those questions, you're also vetting them in terms of how safe you can feel with those people. Because if they have had multiple partners, then I think it's clear that you're more likely to be able to trust them.
Yeah. Well, and also, like, if you're thinking about I'm thinking from like a job interview perspective. If you're like, okay, why did your last dynamic end?
Yes.
Like what happened? Like, you know, maybe it's a relationship that just ended, that happens. And it had nothing to do with BDSM, but I think it's important to be like, okay, well, why did the submissive not want to be a part of this dynamic anymore?
Yeah. I agree with that.
Gotta look out for yourself. Like, okay, I'm interviewing for this job, but why did, like, what happened to the person who was here before me?
Yeah.
Were they fired? Did they quit? Were they promoted?
That's a good way to look at it.
Yeah.
It is a good way to look at it.
I think another one is, you know, what are your limits? What things are you not willing to do within the BDSM community? And I think you were talking about that quiz earlier, and that tends to touch on, you know, would you even try this? Like, you can check maybe. Is that the same quiz?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, yes. That's what I thought. You can even check maybe for things you're not sure about but might be willing to explore. And then when you're learning those things, if you've learned somebody's more experience in one of those areas, then you may be more inclined to try that with them.
Yeah.
And okay. Then another one I wrote down was... I just wrote down, there are all of these Google Sheets, like Google documents that will have, like, similar to this quiz, just everything from A to Z in the BDSM community, and you can both sit there and do it and then kind of, like, trade answers, like a Cosmo quiz.
That would be so fun. Yes.
And so I think if you really are seriously considering entering a dynamic, that you take one of those quizzes and you both do it honestly. Even if you don't end up having the same interest, like, wouldn't you rather figure that out outside of the 100%. Bedroom?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So
definitely.
I did ask my Dom. I sent him a screenshot of the questions and I was like, hey, if you have any thoughts, like what would you share? And what he said is, a real Dom will never pressure you, force you, or try to convince you to do something. Don't trust someone who only Dom's first time subs. So
yes. I think that's good. That advice. Is another really good way advice. To find a fake Dom.
Mm-hmm. Is if he only hooks up with first time subs.
Yeah.
That's a way to get traumatized real quick.
One of the guys, so the fake Dom that we call fake Dom on the podcast.
Yeah.
Was like
capital F, capital D.
Yep. Has his name. He was the worst. Like, he clearly had zero experience. Not even, like, peripheral experience. He didn't know what aftercare was.
No, he just kind of took what looked like a Dom on TV and commercialized
yeah,
it.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
He was like, I've seen Edward Cullen.
And I, yes, oh my God.
I wasn't able to recognize it. I texted Liz from the bathroom of his house. Oh, I was God. Like, hey, he's a Dom. And, like, she was like, okay, but, like, how? Because I think you knew up front that, like, this was kind of shady. And there was something about him that was shady on all cylinders. And
the
I was like,
stand-up, I think, gave it away for me.
This was the same guy that made me listen to his stand-up for like
oh,
an hour.
Oh my God, yes.
Mm-hmm.
But he knew nothing about anything. But he, there are so many that I got lucky that was like an obvious way to spot them.
Yeah.
But there are other.
But like on all other accounts, I feel like he seemed like a normal guy, like, you know, kind of person you would be interested in.
He was
in.
A good actor. For sure.
Yeah.
Looking back on it, I'm like, I mean, 2020 is hindsight. Hindsight's in 2020. But everything that I look back on now, I'm like, oh, it's so fucking obvious. Like, he didn't really know what he was doing.
He made it very obvious. He didn't care about your pleasure at all when you were like, hey, I didn't come.
Yeah.
And he was like, bummer.
What?
Yeah, dude. He came and I was like, oh, I didn't come. And he was like, oh, sorry.
You should get even down have to there, say sir. That.
I know. And he was like, so do you want me to help you with that? I'm like, yeah.
Hello?
And then we had sex
like,
a second
I'm having
time.
Sex for me also.
Right. I'm also trying to enjoy
it's
this.
It's hot that you're here? Having a good time, but I also want to have a good time. Right. I didn't come here to pleasure you.
He fucking sucked. You know what's really funny is since I started
we
this TikTok stuff.
We should send him a fleshlight in the mail.
I'm
sorry, that's great.
But can we
multiple.
Fill it with glitter or something yes. really shitty?
Yes.
Or so literal shit.
Glitter on
like,
his
please
dick.
Go fuck yourself.
Since I've been doing this TikTok stuff, a lot of women that live in Seattle. So I unfollowed him on Instagram recently, but I was when I was still following him, I was getting a lot of messages from girls that were like, I think we're Eskimo sisters.
Yeah. Yeah, he.
Oh, is he. He's local.
He like told a girl, like he asked a girl, "Are you autistic?" in like like demeaning way.
Yeah, well, I don't think there's a really a nice way to ask that question. It's just,
it was honestly, he's so fucking clueless. But good looking, and I was blinded.
Right, that's why.
No. He's average looking, in my opinion.
I mean, I was desperate.
He was hot. He's hot. Unfortunately,
it sucks.
His personality ruins it entirely. But
he also told me I was too political because I asked him if he voted. There was just so much wrong with this man.
You're too political.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, go blow yourself.
You're right. I should just stop caring about anyone.
He sucked. But he,
yeah, you're a white man. Keep policing my body. Thanks.
It was very clear that nobody had ever pressed him on the Dom stuff. Like, yeah. Because when I started asking him questions, he was like,
Like, okay, well, what kind of aftercare do you provide? What's aftercare?
Yeah.
Okay, you're not a Dom at
all. Yeah. And I think that goes back to that question, right? Like, if you're vetting somebody and you're asking them about your interests and they're not able to articulate an answer back, like, red flag. Everywhere.
Yeah, right.
But like I said, you know, do as we say, not as we do or did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes.
Trust your gut.
That is the other thing I was going to say is, you know, if you are in a sticky situation, you've got to trust your gut.
And I do think that I'm looking at the box right now. So we're not really strangers. I feel like if you're vetting someone, like, go on a date.
Yes.
It doesn't have to be like, just because you're going on a date doesn't mean it needs to be like romantic if you're purely looking for a dom sub dynamic and nothing else.
Well, and I think that is important, right? Like, you're talking about a job interview.
They're a person.
Like, you should have lunch at the very least. Like, maybe you don't have an alcohol, but like you should have dinner and talk it out.
You don't want to work somewhere with a toxic work environment. Everyone's leaving all the time. Like, what's your company culture like?
Yeah.
Well, if you work really hard, okay, so you're telling me that it's toxic here.
And I think that's the other red flag, too, while we're on the subject, is do not imbibe too much when you are when you are going to engage in a scene. Mm-hmm. You do not want to be too intoxicated in any way. Mm-hmm. It is so dangerous because, I mean, I did a scene when I was high once, and I really enjoy being strangled, and it's just, like, the delay of, like, my reaction time. I could tell it was delayed, and we talked about it afterwards, and I was like, yeah, going forward, that was, you know, I won't get to that level. And so if you are going on a date, just make sure that you're, you know, having a drink or two and staying hydrated. Yeah.
So someone shared a way to, like, maybe weed out fake doms, because I had complained about that. And they said, pay close attention to what they say and how they actually act. First, if they want you to address them as sir or daddy right away, they have not earned that right and know nothing about you. Second, making requests for you to use toys, audio clips, NSFW pics, etc. They should have a report first, or a rapport.
Report.
I don't know how to say that. report.
It has a T at the end, to be fair.
Third, jumping straight to kink conversation. Fourth, asking for personal details like Instagram, Snapchat, Facebook, etc. Tell them that you won't compromise on trust, communication, respect, balance, and boundaries. And then they recommended a book called Different Loving, The World of Sexual Dominance and Submission. And then another book called Screw the Roses.
Mm. So.
Wow.
Fake doms, your brain is ending. Not that they even had one, but...
It's so fucked.
But their self-perceived reign is coming to an end.
And it sucks because I'm sure a lot of the people that are listening are interested in exploring this side of themselves, and fake doms prey on that kind of person. So it's good that we talk about it to know what to look out for, because it's really fucked. And it's for my fake dom, I don't think that it was for nefarious reasons. And a lot of the time, maybe it's not, but a good amount of the time, it probably is for nefarious reasons.
I don't think it's intentionally nefarious.
No, but it ends up being
some people aren't
self-serving, right? Like, that's really what it boils down to. Yes. And a good dom is going to cater to you.
Yeah,
exactly. A fake dom, like fake dom, capital F, capital D.
Mm-hmm.
I think that he's going to always skirt around it. Like, if someone was, like, straight up like, no, you're a fake dominant, he would always have an excuse.
Yeah.
And I think that's also how he would probably be in a relationship.
Yeah. So. Yeah. And it kind of seemed like he really just did not have a level of knowledge that he thought that he did. Like, he said it with so much conviction, and then when I questioned him about aftercare, and it wasn't even like I was testing
it. It sounds like sounds like a basic white guy.
Yeah, he fucking sucks.
I was just thinking the same thing.
I'm just
thing.
Like, I'm overly confident.
I was born, and I have the audacity.
Uh-huh. He had a lot of audacity.
Really confident, but also didn't do any research.
Yeah. And it was like, so clear.
Wow, your confidence must have been rewarded a lot.
I feel like he liked to be in control, and so he thought he was a dom. And, like, that's not... There's a lot of crossover, but there's a big difference.
Yeah. I can't wait for some dominant lady to march into his life and
step on his balls.
What's what, yeah.
In those stiletto heels.
And then he'll be like, wait a minute, I was wrong this whole time.
That's my prayer for him.
You know, that's the other thing with fake doms, right? Like, they're never going to push your boundaries.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And if somebody uses their level of experience to try to talk you into something, like, red flag.
Mm-hmm.
It should always be an ongoing conversation, and it should never be, no one should act without your consent.
100%.
Even if it's something simple, like, I am uncomfortable being blindfolded, no one should blindfold you then. You know, like, yeah, you're not in pain from that, but that is pushing your boundary.
Okay, so the conversation about consent and boundaries brings us to a question that we got about the importance of safe words.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I have always, like, and I'm putting joke in air quotes because I've never really had the need to have a safe word, but my safe word has always been Alabama.
Love it. I thought it was Arizona.
It was Alabama. And it scares people that it's Alabama because they're like, that is the least safe state.
Okay, well, I definitely put in an episode that your safe word was Arizona.
You know, but I have never practiced it. So, it might have switched, you know. It could have been Arizona. Alabama. But I think that safe words, there's like a mainstream understanding of a safe word, but it's so important in BDSM, so I think it's worth talking about.
Yeah. I mean, I think you will be surprised. I thought that my safe word being my favorite TV show, like, it would just slip off the tongue, and I've had to use a safe word kind of sort of twice, and it's never been the actual safe word that we discussed. And so I thought that this was a great question that you guys got, because in considering safe words, just stick with the easiest ones, right? So green is go, yellow is pause and readjust, red is stop. I have never articulated the word red first thing. It has always been stop. And stop is what happened. Like, and that is what is so important, is if I say stop, it means stop.
Mm-hmm.
It's also the tone, right? I have a consensual non-consent kink. So it's like, oh no, stop, don't. Like, yeah, there's a difference between that and stop. I'm freaking out.
Will you explain a consensual non-consent kink?
Yeah, you guys had previously talked about it on the Sexual Assault Awareness Month episodes, but it's kind of the concept of it. There's a couple of categories, either being kidnapped or being raped, and the important word is still consent at the top of
you're agreeing to it,
right? And a lot of what we've talked about this episode and things that have appealed to me as a submissive is the loss of control, and so that is what turned me on with that. And honestly, it's porn's fault. that's where I first saw any of that, and then just kind of discovered that that was something that I was interested in. And I first saw it articulated on Reddit, and I had never discussed it with a partner until my current partner. And because I had finally said it out loud, I actually talked to my therapist about it. And I was like, you know, this is something that I'm curious about. Is this normal? And she was like, yes, absolutely. So
hold on, the oldest car ever is going up the hill.
It looks like a hearse.
It really does.
What the fuck, they're going all the way up?
I was like, is that a scooter?
But that's why, you know, red being the difference from stop. But anytime I've said stop, there has been a complete stop. And one thing that I wasn't familiar with is that some people are really into, like, you know, being ball gagged or, you know, duct tape or something like that. And you're in a position where you can't speak. And I learned that some people will use, like, clickers, like the clicker trainer thing to, as their stop or red.
That seems so obvious because ball gags are, you know, it's on the consent is my kink shirt. It's like such an obvious staple of BDSM. That makes a lot of sense of having like some kind of signal or an agreement, an arrangement in advance. I will say I don't have a safe word.
But that's an interesting take though, because so you haven't felt like you've needed one.
No, there's been, when we first started hooking up, he was like, we need to talk about safe words. And then I was like, I'm new here. but obviously the more like we went on dates and stuff, it was like, oh, this isn't just sex. Like we actually really like each other. And then from there, like him knowing that this is so new to me, it was kind of more, we could figure it out from there. But there's been times where like, even if I've just been like really uncomfortable because I've been like too stiff.
Yeah. Or
I'm
in like, a position to stretch.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm like, hey, my shoulder hurts. And then he's like, oh, we can figure it out. Like,
but it should be that simple. And that is the other thing. Like a fake dom won't stop when you're like, okay, but my, like, I just need to stretch for a second or I need a drink of water. Like I've never had an issue with just saying the word stop.
Yeah.
Everything comes to a halt. And that's why I think the color system works so well, because when I have felt like I've needed to say stop, I feel like I'm starting to see red almost. So it's just like, okay, it just slips off the tongue.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. That's interesting. Yeah. And it's interesting that you bring it up in like a CNC kind of dynamic too, because in the porn that I've watched that's BDSM related, like they're actively saying stop and they don't, but at the top of the video they'll have like an interview with them where they're like, stop doesn't mean stop, this is your safe word. And
God,
so
I wouldn't even so know much that. Of the same porn.
Probably. Okay,
me with my porn on mute, I don't even know that's what they're interviewing
about.
Yeah,
Liz watches porn on mute. Isn't that interesting?
I don't know. There's something about it. I don't want to hear it.
Well, I've also heard that the psychology behind it is mostly watching the women's faces.
Ooh.
It's like really what gets you off. Yeah.
Interesting.
So I could see that.
Actually, that's...
You know what? I think you're right about
really
that.
It's really true. Yeah. I don't need to hear what's going on.
But I'm with Amelia. I love a good moan from a man.
I'll listen to ASMR all day.
And that's not to say, like, I don't enjoy, like, hearing it in real life. It's just when I'm watching porn, I don't need to like be, I'm on the outside. I don't want to pretend I'm there. I don't need to hear anything. I want my imagination to take control.
But you were talking about when you first started watching porn, it would be muted. So it's like, that's how you got
it had
used to
be.
Watching porn.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And in general,
yeah, I feel
the
that.
Older I've gotten, the more I'm like, sometimes like sound overwhelms me too much. Mm-hmm. Like there's a fine line between like, sound overwhelming me and distracting me and like me being in the zone.
I'm similar. If things get too shrill, I can't do it. So
oh
like TV shows that are shrill, can't watch.
But I did want to circle back to this CNC thing. I'm really interested in what your therapist said.
I was concerned that, you know, mentally the lines are crossing. Like, is it kind of sick that I'm advocating for these people while I'm turned on by this concept? And she was like, the two are so unrelated. Like, you're overthinking it, essentially, is what she said. Like, that's not where it stemmed from. And if it was, then maybe we'd be having a different conversation.
Yeah.
But I did just see something on Reddit. God, Reddit should sponsor this, frankly, the amount of times we've talked about Reddit. That was like an Ask Me Anything. I'm an actual therapist. And, you know, people were basically saying I think the question was, like, what are you afraid to tell your therapist that therapists don't actually give a shit about? And almost everything was, like, therapists do not give a shit about anything sexually related. And, in fact, most people wait too long or, like, wait longer to reveal those things to their therapist because they're worried about their therapist's reaction. But they were basically saying, like, we have heard it all. Mm. So just lay it on us. And in that sense, I was kind of concerned about whether I was, you know.
When I started telling my therapist about my BDSM experiences, she was like, well, I don't have a lot of experience with this. And then she seemed like stoked because it was like, yeah, okay, I get to try like a different area of my therapy knowledge.
Yeah, that's interesting.
So I think that's all. Yeah, it was nice to also like not feel like some sort of judgment, because I think a lot of people probably have some kind of like fear of shame, because if you're raised under the oppressive umbrella of,
let's say, the Catholic Christianity Church. Any religion.
Specifically the Catholic Church, if you're me. Then it's like, yeah, no one wants to talk about sex. No one wants to talk about... I remember the first time I told my mom I had sex, like, it's because I got caught. Oof. And she was like, she made me feel bad about it. Mm. And then she was like, but also, like, your partner... She was like, he doesn't know how to make you feel good. And then I was like, I don't want to talk to you about this.
Your mom was like, girl, get yours. Yeah. And you just weren't ready to hear it yet.
She's like, let me tell you, this fucking stupid ass 18-year-old kid doesn't know what he's doing. I wish she had said that to me. She'd be like, I don't know. I am really thankful that I lost my virginity to a long-term boyfriend, considering all circumstances of, like, I couldn't safely talk about sex in my house with my parents. It would have been nice. I, like, went to Planned Parenthood by myself. Oh, well, I was kind of by myself. I went with my best friend.
Which is by yourself.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You couldn't trust your family.
It was her idea.
Yeah. I did also send these questions with all the usernames redacted to my partner, and I asked, he responded immediately to the question about safe words and was like, well, the importance of safe words is that you can actually, you can push the boundary of the person that you're with because you know that they can opt out at any time. And that is one of my favorite parts of BDSM is, you know,
that's really how you get into subspace.
Exactly.
Is you like, talking to, my dom, like, if I do make it into subspace, it's been because he's consciously worked me up to that point. Like, he's pushing the boundaries. Like, he starts out, like, softer with, like, any sort of hitting or whatever. And then it builds because you kind of, like, your brain shuts off and you become kind of, like, numb to it.
You're, like, a kind of a fuck doll.
Yeah, it's well, and like it, like the pain is enjoyable.
Yeah.
So at first it actually hurts, but then like the deeper you get into, it's like being hypnotized almost.
It
like,
is.
The deeper you get into it, like the less you feel pain at all. So you, like, a safe word is helpful when you are in subspace to like it, you, some part of your brain knows like the next step is not going to be safe for me.
Yeah.
Like, something about this isn't okay. So, like, it's just, that's why it's easy to have a simple word, like a color. Like red means stop.
Yeah.
So if you can't articulate stop or whatever the case may be.
Yeah.
If you say red, it's like, oh, okay, we're done.
And I just think that is probably the funniest part is I was like, oh, I'll never forget, like, my favorite TV show. I'll definitely be able to spit that out. And I was not. And it was just... red, stop. And so that's why I'm like, Alabama?
Yeah.
Arizona?
Alabama? Who fucking knows?
Whichever state. I'm like, I'm really curious to see how this plays out. Especially, I mean, if you've had it saved in your brain, I'm hoping that your brain will just...
I don't even know where it came from.
Amelia's would be Donald Trump.
Oh my God.
Trump!
And Bernie is Gilmore.
Bernie is... Hell yeah.
Pay for my college, baby.
Amelia, what kind of sub do you think you would be?
I don't know. So the guy that I'm talking to guessed rope bunny.
Well, that's clear since you have been talking about being tied up this entire
time. From the jump. Okay, yeah. this is a little, borders on a little fucked up, but.
No such thing.
Did you, you've seen Aladdin.
Yes. You've told this story, yes, I swear. Yes,
that is where I think I first, I was a child.
Well, first of all, can we just talk about the fact that Jasmine is hot as fuck?
She's so hot.
Like, way too hot for a child's cartoon.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of very hot Disney characters. Prince Eric, No business in being that hot. No business.
I think all the princes look kind of the same.
Yeah, that's just because they're white men.
Oh my God, but I just watched Mulan last weekend for the first time in years.
Mm-hmm.
So, what was his name? Oh my God, Li Shang.
He is super hot.
Hottest love interest in any Disney movie.
So buff.
Point blank, period.
So many muscles.
So many muscles.
Well, he was prepared to defeat the Hun.
He's a dom for sure.
And that song, the whole song.
Let's get down to business.
So catchy.
Okay, so
Rope Bunny.
Okay, Rope Bunny. Yes. Wow, thank you. So we need you around all the time.
Get us
like back on track.
Can I just come back?
You round out the Holy Trinity.
Yeah, that's great.
Fuck yes. So Rope Bunny, I honestly, I don't think that I would be good at being a brat. Brat showed up a high percentage on my BDSM test, but I need to retake it because it's been like a year.
Well, it's been since capital F, capital D, fake dom. And so I feel like that experience has, I mean, any BDSM experience, I feel like teaches you about what you want for the next time.
For sure.
And so, yeah.
Yeah.
Probably worth retaking.
You weren't taking it with any specific experience in mind.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you're just taking it as yourself. Like, yeah, you weren't taking it as, like, what kind of sub would I be?
That's true.
Am I even a sub?
I definitely need to take it again.
Brad was pretty high on mine, too, but Rope Bunny was the highest.
Put a link to this quiz on this episode.
Yeah. Oh, for sure.
Yep. Because I feel like a lot of people are about to learn what type of dom and sub they are. And also, if you're not interested in BDSM, you should just do it anyways.
Yeah.
It's a fun little test.
Spice up your vanilla sex life even a little bit.
I had no idea that there were so many categories. I was like, when you told me about it, I was like, I'm going to find out if I'm a sub or a dom. And like, it was like 20 different categories for each. I was like,
it's an extensive quiz. Well, and also, I used to think vanilla sex meant boring, like bad sex.
Yeah,
starfish it through the rest of the night kind of sex. But what it actually means is just like not kinky sex. Mm-hmm. Like it's not BDSM related.
It's not a scene.
Yeah, it's not a scene.
I kind of struggle with the idea of like vanilla sex or outside of a scene because I'm like, I still like want you to choke me and spank me and pull my hair a little bit.
Even our
those breath. Aspects are always there, even outside of me being a sub or dom explicitly.
Yeah, that's important to distinguish. It doesn't need to be one or the other.
Right, and it also doesn't need to be like, let's do this for several hours and commit to like this scene.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, aspects. Yeah, I feel like it leaks out and it just makes everything a little bit spicy.
Totally.
And the longer you're together and the more you know each other, it's like, scenes change, you know? Yeah,
that's the BDSM Cosmo quiz.
Oh,
I feel like it is. It really is. Like, both partners take it, don't show each other your answers, and then you're like, okay, share.
Yes.
I should retake it to see where
I'm curious to see if it's changed for you.
Yeah, now that I've had a slightly more experience.
Well, I'm going to do that tonight. I'm curious to know.
I almost had an orgasm the first time I had my tattoo, and I should have known right then I was interested in BDSM.
I feel like we could talk for forever.
Honestly, there's so many layers.
There's so much to this. Do you have any, like, any closing thought before we play Fuck, Marry, Kill, which is my favorite part?
Yes. I think the main theme of this episode has been communication is key, right?
Yes.
Like, that's how you're going to figure out if somebody is willing to abide by your boundaries, and also you're going to learn about what they're interested in. They're going to learn what you're interested in. And that's what makes sex good anyways, right? Like when you are both trying to get each other off, that makes a great playtime. I would say that anyone that's thinking about dipping into this, it can seem daunting just because it has a name to it.
Yeah.
Right? And I think we've talked a little bit about how this can bleed into quote-unquote vanilla sex. And if you're interested in some aspect of this, ask him to pull your hair, girl. Like, it is okay.
Yes.
And Amelia, on a prior episode, you had talked about, you're like, call me a dirty name. Like, let's do it. And they're apologizing afterwards. Like, I think we've all watched porn and porn has ended and we've been like, ugh, what do we just watch?
Yeah, post not clarity.
But like,
exactly. But with porn.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like when you are really hungry and you order a pizza and then after you eat the pizza, you're like,
oh, what have I done? Exactly. But I hope that anyone who's listening to this took away that, like, there's something for everyone, and just because you're interested in something does not make you sick.
Yeah.
Honestly. And experiencing it can be so much different than watching it, because I wasn't watching BDSM porn, and then when I experienced it, I was like, this is great. This is exactly what I was looking for, and I didn't recognize that, but this guy did.
Yeah, and also take the quiz.
Yeah, and take the quiz.
Yes.
The Cosmo quiz, as I'm calling it, which Cosmo is like, please stop.
I'm going to cease and desist from Cosmo.
Yeah.
Can you please stop talking about us on your podcast?
Maybe they would actually be stoked.
And then for my final closing remarks, please go to Reddit if you are just trying to see what's out there. You will find so much. Just start with, you know, BDSM community. Start there. Yeah. See what people are talking about. See what interests you. And don't be afraid to ask questions.
That's great advice. That's
perfect advice. Yeah.
Fuck, marry, kill.
So we're taking a different approach to fuck, marry, kill today.
Uh-oh.
Normally we do celebs. Mm. We're going to do fuck, marry, kill with common male names.
Oh, God. Okay.
So our first one is fuck, marry, kill, Matt, Alex, Ryan.
Oh, God.
My brother's name is Matt, so I've got to opt out of this one. I can't, kill him either.
I dated a Ryan.
Okay.
I fucked a Ryan, obviously, but...
Yeah, we've all fucked Orion.
Who hasn't fucked Orion?
There's too many Ryans to all fuck Orion.
And like I've said, Ryan...
I have not fucked Orion.
Ryan, Kyle, and Tyler are all the same.
They're all the same man. Have you fucked Kyle or a Tyler?
Kyle or a Tyler. Not that come to mind, but like all the white men in my brain are melding together as one unit currently.
Yeah.
Having fucked Orion and been disappointed... I'm going to kill Ryan.
Okay, fair.
And I'm going to marry a Matt.
Okay.
I don't think I've ever hooked up with a Matt.
I've only had good Matt. Was he a good guy?
Well, you matched with him on Hinge.
I did?
Yeah.
Did I send you his name?
Yeah. Because I'm in his profile.
Oh, my God. Wait, why don't I remember this?
I don't know.
I guess we never talked.
I was like, are you compatible? I don't
know. Oh, that's right. Yeah, you're like, he's a good guy. I don't think that he's your type. Yeah. I remember this.
So hopefully he's not listening, because I'm definitely going to fuck Matt.
Okay.
Not him specifically.
Right. Just like, the name Matt.
Trust Matt to be good in bed.
Yeah. Okay. Hmm. Okay.
Maybe because I can walk all over them. Get it? Pun?
Hey!
Okay. I'm going to marry Alex. It's just a good, strong name, and you can moan it in bed, and I'm going to kill Ryan.
Alex is a good name to moan.
Frankly, if you can't moan it, you shouldn't name your son it.
No.
I've lived by
Chester.
I'll forever live by that motto.
Ugh. If you can't moan it, you shouldn't name your son that. That's hilarious.
You are doing him a disservice.
That's an episode title for sure. If you can't moan it, don't name it. Okay.
Moan-worthy names.
You know what's really interesting is I feel like everybody has associations with, oh, this is a good one. I got a good one.
I'm scared.
Fuck, marry, kill, Colin, Justin, Spencer.
They're all dying. I'm killing them all.
You have to fuck.
But you're gonna do it like Wanted style. Put them all on the line. One bullet.
Just do a circle, and we all die. I'll go with them. It's not worth it. I'm absolutely murdering the fuck out of a Spencer.
I've never met a Spencer I like. I just can't imagine looking a baby in the face and being like, "You're Spencer." Spencer?
Spencer the baby.
Yeah. This is my baby Spencer.
And also the nickname, Grandpa Spencer. The shortened to Spence.
Spence.
What is that?
That's worse.
Yeah, I know. That's what I'm saying.
If you're listening and your name is Spencer, how does it feel?
Yeah, how does it feel?
You're listening, apologizing. I'm like, I have questions.
Wait, if your name is Spencer and you're listening, are you okay?
And do you wear glasses? Because I feel like you do. Mine was a crush I had in high school in band.
Aww.
And I don't even remember what instrument he played.
Probably the trombone. It feels like a trombone name.
Spencer?
Oh, trumpet.
What were you playing?
The flute.
I could have guessed
this
that.
This one time at band. And that's how I knew I was into BDSM.
I played the clarinet. Fun fact.
I feel like that's what he played.
Oh, yikes.
That would make sense if he was close by you.
Yeah, right? Right behind me.
What if he played the bassoon?
I feel like a bassoon is more of like a Chad.
Yeah,
it sounds
like you had to like.
No, a bassoon is for like the weirdest person you know.
It's like it's a, so we deep. Had
it's a the saxophone player. Of clarinets.
Yeah, exactly.
It's just like very. Well, because it's like the same as a clarinet, but then like the flute is the same as a saxophone. Did you know that? They have the same keys.
Yeah, that's what I was just thinking. It's well, like, shit. I feel like he played the clarinet, which would require him flirting, to be good with his fingers.
Always flirting with the trumpets, always flirting with the saxophones.
Mm. Wait, what did you play in band?
The flute.
You did?
Yeah. I wanted to play the harp because this girl was rocking the harp at the sixth grade concert.
And in
I was
band?
Like, I want to do that.
Not an orchestra?
Orchestra. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I want to play the harp. And my parents were like, absolutely not.
We're not putting that in the house.
Yeah. They're like, we cannot afford a harp.
My fuck angel no. of a dad bought my clarinet for me once, like after band stopped, because I was like, I'm going to play the clarinet. I didn't touch it once afterward. That was not in my wheelhouse.
I was jealous I didn't have a reed. I wanted to read.
It's the what bugged me the most out there. It was like a texture thing for me.
You have to like get it all wet before you put it in.
Yes.
It requires you to be good with your tongue and your fingers.
And then like, you know, anybody like.
It's a lot of work.
Yeah.
There's a million keys on a clarinet.
There's a reason that they gave Squidward the clarinet. Like, it is a very angry person.
Well, he also
instrument.
He has all those tentacles.
Six hands, technically.
Yeah, that's true. I was never good at the clarinet.
So, okay. And just for the record, I know an octopus has 8 legs. I'm just saying he had to stand on 2 of them.
Wait,
yeah, but he was a squid. But I feel like squids have 8 too, yeah?
I don't know.
Oh.
I don't know.
I'm like looking at you like, Liz, squid, 8? I don't know why you would know. Wait,
can I just say that I feel like in this scenario, Justin fucks.
Do you think?
I think so.
Mm-hmm. J-names fuck, unfortunately. Mm. I think I'd have to fuck a Justin.
I think I'd have to kill a Justin. I feel like I'm like a J-name hater.
Spencer's dying, sorry.
I feel like I'm marrying a Spencer because his name sucks so bad he has to be sensitive enough about
it. No, you're right. Spencer Mary, for sure. I'm going to kill a Justin and fuck a Colin.
I'm marrying a Colin.
Oh, I'm definitely killing the Colin.
Wow, we're across the board on all of these. Look at that. Yeah, so please don't be in our inbox all upset, okay? There's fair, there's representation across the board here.
Mm-hmm.
Also, sorry. Don't take it personal. These people don't have faces in my head.
No.
They do in my head.
To me, they just have an energy.
Yes.
They do. They have an aura.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like a Colin is like a red... Like yes. like a maroon.
To me, Colin is like a green.
Ooh, interesting.
Yeah, Colin's green for me.
Justin's like a blue.
Spencer is like a color I don't want to be around. I can't think of what it would
Colin
be.
Colin is fat, Spencer is tall, and Justin is buff.
Interesting.
And those are the only images I have in my head.
Love that. Love that. You know, we're all categorizing and those are colors in this household. Yeah. My favorite color is fat.
In middle school, people did call me a chubby chaser because every guy I liked was chubby.
That's because they had good senses of humor, didn't they? Girl, I know all so about that.
That's a really good point.
Hilarious.
That's a really good point.
Do you have a prayer to take us out?
Oh, interesting.
Your opening prayer was so
an ending
killer.
Mass. Yeah, it was.
I know. That's why I'm like, I don't think I can follow it up. Closing prayer is to please buy your hats.
Of course.
To all of the noobs out there considering dabbling in BDSM and escaping their vanilla sex life, I pray that they are able to find their dom inside themselves or the submissives inside themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And they...
Amen.
Come.
And get someone inside
get
themselves.
Get yours.
Yes.
Yeah. By getting somebody inside of you.
So this turned into like a group prayer.
Yeah.
Precisely. Yeah.
Amen.
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 That was beautiful.
Brought tear to my eye. Oh my God. Thank you so much for being here. I'm so fucking hyped about this conversation.
This was Kinky Katie, everyone. And hopefully we'll have her as a guest again.
She's like,
I love that, please.
Such this a fun so guest. Fun. Such a fun topic. Yes. So hopefully you guys enjoy listening to it as much as we enjoyed recording it.
Yeah. We love you. Oh, wait. Holyhourpodcast@gmail.com. This is my job and I always forget. At the holy hour on everything TikTok now. Please follow us on TikTok. We're so close to 1,000. Not really. Yeah, it feels like it.
And then we can do like a duet like
live.
But because I only have like 70 followers on my TikTok because I don't do anything interesting.
You would have so many
followers. I'm sorry.
TikTok, Instagram, Twitter, everything at the Holy Hour. We're thinking about getting a Discord up and running. Let us know if you'd be interested in that. We got to learn about it. But, yeah. So, thank you for listening.
Goodbye.
We love you.
I'm like, did we sing with a guest?
Okay, bye. Oh, no. Yes! Yeah!
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, UNIFYD, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.